Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki.
Jai.
Translation. Thus the personality of Kali, by the directions of Maharaj Parikshit, the son of Uttara, was allowed to live in those five places. Purport. Thus the age of Kali began with gold standardization, and therefore falsity, intoxication, animal slaughter, and prostitution are rampant all over the world. And the sanest section is eager to drive out corruption. The counteracting process is suggested above, and everyone can take advantage of this suggestion. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Miti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So before I start, I would like to request the blessings of devotees, Vaishnavas present in the temple room and those which are online. Please accept my humble obeisances. Vancha kalpa turupyascha kripa sindhu bhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavabhyo namo namaha ananta koti vaishnava vrindaki. Hare Krishna. So we can hear in this section how Sutta Goswami is continuing the narration of the presentation of Kali personified with interaction with Maharaj Parikshit. So I just would like to do a quick recap. I'm just going to read the translations of two previous verses so we know. So Sutta Goswami said, this is verse 38. Maharaj Parikshit, thus being petitioned by the personality of Kali, gave him permission to reside in places where gambling, drinking, prostitution, and animal slaughter were performed. 39. The personality of Kali asked for something more, and because of begging, the king gave him permission to live where there is gold, because wherever there is gold, there is also falsity, intoxication, lust, envy, and enmity. And we're coming for today's verse. Thus the personality of Kali, by the directions of Maharaj Parikshit, the son of Uttara, was allowed to live in those five places. So we know which are those five places, right? Let's do a bit of a recap. So, what is the first place? Where is the place of residence for Kali personified? Where gold is stored, yes, that's number one. Number two, gambling is performed. Three, where intoxication is performed. Four, prostitution. And five, meditating. So we need to ask ourselves, why specifically these places? These places are connected to the lower modes of material nature, and they actually, they are indicating the lower type of sense gratification for those which are seeking sense gratification. I mentioned it before a few months ago in one class, that actually there's one thing which the karmis of those which are in the material world and those which are spiritually already open or awake and have in common. There's one thing which we have all in common, those which are spiritual seekers and those which are seekers of material enjoyment. Does anyone know? What is that one thing we have in common, which is undisputedly we have in common? That's it, seeking happiness. All of us are actually seeking happiness. But ultimately, Krishna Bhaktas or devotees, they're seeking happiness in trying to facilitate happiness of Krishna or happiness of other jivas. So, and the materialists are still seeking happiness. They're seeking happiness, but their places of seeking happiness are these five places. Prabhupada is speaking last few verses about gold, about how actually gold is, to a certain degree, dangerous, right? But then when you look at the altar, you look at Radha Gokulananda, you look at the deities, you look at, even you look at Prabhupada, some of the Prabhupada, he had, you know, golden rings, right? Devotees gave him something sometimes. So the question is really gold dangerous? The answer is, again, presented by the six Goswamis, is all about how you utilize that gold. Because gold is nothing else, just an opportunity for happiness. It's an opportunity for you to pay for your happiness to a certain degree. So one thing we can discuss today is that Prabhupada, in a previous verse, he speaks about inflation, right? That in a modern day and age, the actual value of money is not actually covered by the true actual value, which is should be equivalent to the value of gold, or should be equivalent with gold. So back in the 60s, what happened, the French banks in France, they accumulated over the years like millions of dollars in their banks. And at one point what they did is they went to American government and said, look, we have a lot of dollars, like millions of dollars. Is it possible for us to exchange it for gold? And the American government was like bewildered. So what are we going to do? And the answer was, no, you can't. Why? Because we don't have gold to cover that money. So one thing we can learn from this is that if your devotional performance, again, like practical application in our devotional life, if your so-called devotional performance is not covered by Guru Parampara, if it's not authorized by the parampara, by the devotees, by the acharya, by your spiritual master, by the scriptures, by the Vaishnavas, then your practice has no value. It is sentiment. There's a story when, this is Gudruma Prabhu, he narrates this story and I find it very funny. So there was one lady, Indian bodied lady, and she had shalagram in her home. Beautiful, beautiful, shining shalagram shila. And she was doing so much like puja every day, offering different paraphernalias, different upachars, bhoga. And she was worshipping this shalagram with a very beautiful, opulent way. At one point, she was so proud of a shalagram shila that she invited some brahmana, kind of a specialist, right, to recognize what kind of a shila it is, where is it from, and basically all the necessary details. So this brahmana entered the home of this lady and he looked at the shalagram shila and said, my dear mother, this is a doorknob. So this shalagram shila which you worship for such so opulently is actually a very nicely polished doorknob. Did I pronounce it correctly? Doorknob? Doorknob. And she was bewildered. She was like, what do you mean? He said, the person who gave you this was lying to you. So let me ask you a question. Let me pose you a question now. Was that service accepted? Yes or no? Was that activity, was that devotion which this mother offered these different paraphernalias, was it accepted or was it not accepted? Okay, let's do a bit of a voting here. Hands up who think it was accepted. I need to see those hands, so put it high. Those who say, yes, it was accepted, this... Don't be shy, just... Okay, those who think it was not accepted. Many of you are neutral or something, no? So again, let's do it again. Those who think the offering on that shalagram shila, which was not shalagram shila, was a doorknob, was accepted by the Supreme Lord. You're saying yes, accepted. So the rest, I assume, saying no. Okay, let me...
Was it an installed shalagram shila by
That I don't know. That information I don't possess. So Prajna Prabhu asked if it was installed by a bona fide spiritual master. There's no Shalagrahi as a doorknob. So, okay. So we have kind of a two parties here, two sides. I don't know the answer. I can only pose my opinion, and then we can open it for discussion. So the opinion is that Krishna obviously can take and accept the worship through any different type of a medium. The main important thing for us is bhakti, right? But then on the other hand, Srila Prabhupada refers to the archana vidhi or archana vigraha, that it needs to be installed by a pure devotee or a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he gave this analogy of, how do you call it when you put the post box, right? So only if it's installed correctly, if it's from the correct material, if it's taken from a correct place, if the correct procedure when you invoke the presence of the deity is involved, only then it is authorized. So there are two things, right? So those who put their hands up saying, yes, it was accepted by the Lord. Maybe if we can have a mic, we can have maybe one or two opinions. Those who put your hands up, please. You put your hands up, yes, Srinivas, that it will be accepted.
It's on, right?
Yes.
I read in the Glories of Shalagram Srila, there's a book in Prabhupada's rooms. In there it says that the Shalagram Srila, there's no need to install it because it's self-manifested.
Yeah, but let's take in consideration.
And the other thing is, if someone doesn't install the Shalagram, they'll get punishment for it because there's no need for it. It's a self-manifest deity.
Okay.
So if someone is worshipping through Manasi in a pure way, then Krishna will accept that service.
Mm. But this was a doorknob.
But it doesn't matter about the fact that she was thinking it's Shalagram.
So you're saying that because she mentally projected as this is Shalagram Srila and she was worshipping in such a way? Okay.
So Krishna will accept it.
Thank you. So those who said no, please give your arguments. Who said no? Don't be shy.
I say no for the simple reason, yeah, that it is not authorized, it was not recognized, just for that. We can. Otherwise we could do anything and it would be accepted.
Yeah, you can worship any stone or anything. Okay, let's leave it there. It was just kind of like an anecdote or a story. Ultimately only Krishna knows if he accepted it or he didn't accept it, that specific worship or that specific those offering. So the point was that if the money, as mentioned by Prabhupada, if the money, paper money, is not covered by gold, it doesn't have a value. So same thing, we can apply this in our spiritual life. Our practices are actually sheltered and promised by the Acharyas and actually by Krishna himself. Krishna says that if you follow my path, you have my promise. I'll promise to you that you will can come back to me. So this means this path specifically means certain yama and niyama, acceptance and rejecting. And specifically in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, the places, the panchasthani, the five places of residence of Kali personified, these places are prohibited, obviously, for the Vaishnavas. And for what reason? So let's go slightly and remember Bhakti Shastri or Bhakta course. What is the opposite side of what actually these four places or four regulative principles or four negative things are actually, what are the four pillars of Dharma, right? So let's go through it one by one. Meditating. Mercy, basically, doya. So if those people which are residing in the places where meat eating is accepted, or even where the animals are butchered, what happens is that doya is missing, is lacking within your life. And we should never forget one of the three principles of Chaitanya Vaishnavas is jiva doya. So how can you produce mercy, or not even produce mercy, how can you be a medium that the mercy may flow through if you are associating with this meat eating, with this meat butchering? It's not possible. Therefore, one of the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is cut. There's no jiva doya within you if you're participating in meat eating meat. And whatever mercy you think you may producing is basically just a mental speculation, just a mental concoction. How many times I met people on book distribution and say, I support UNICEF and all these different charities. But do you eat meat? Yes, I eat meat. Do you have a dog? Yes, I have a dog. Would you butcher him? No, I won't. So there's very big disbalance what people actually understand as a mercy. And that's only because their association is based on accepting something which is impure, which is basically meat. So what is the other part? What is the other pillar of dharma? Let's say intoxication. Austerity. So intoxication, why is connected with austerity? Because when you start intoxicating, what happens is that the immediate so-called satisfaction comes within you, within your mind, within your body. So let's say you're miserable in one point, right? You know, your mood is down. And you eat, you take some pills or something like that, and what happens? Your mood is up again. So this immediate effect. And austerity means that you understand the higher goal. You understand that after this long, long run, there is Krishna in the end. Austerity means that you reject all these negative things and even all these positive things which will give you that immediate relief. What for? For the bigger picture, for Krishna in the end, right? So your austerity is the highest austerity. Even if you're down sometimes, even if there are obstacles in your devotional life, austerity means sticking to the process, chanting 16 rounds and 4 regulative principles. But when you intoxicate, what you do is you straight away try to invite by some external procedure some so-called happiness within you. You try to just put the pain aside and just accept some so-called happiness, right? When people intoxicate, that's what they want. All these four activities are actually connected to happiness. But devotees know that there's no true everlasting happiness within them. That's why intoxication is connected like this. Okay, what's the third one? Let's say illicit sex. What is it connected with? Cleanliness. Not only external cleanliness, but internal cleanliness is very much, very important for Vaishnavas to maintain. One of the two principles of, let's say, pujari service is punctuality and cleanliness. Obviously, be on time and maintain certain standards of cleanliness. So one thing from my own personal reflection, which I may share with you, is that when you are invited by the devotees, or either on the altar or doing some, you know, transfer services, because Krishna is supremely pure, if you desire to associate with Krishna, then you also have to develop that purity. So one thing which helped me in sense of kind of a, when all these unnecessary thoughts come into your head, come into your mind, what you do is you try to focus on Krishna and focus on your service. For instance, it is very difficult to be on the altar when all these impediments within your mind are present there. But you know that the result that these thoughts are coming when you are doing this pure service is because before you've been lacking that control of your mind, if that makes sense. So, because we've been here for millions and millions of lifetimes, our mind functions in a certain way. But as a devotee, we have a progress which helps us to overcome that struggle and actually take control of our life. Prabhupada said, animal life means no control. Man life means control. So we are Purushas to a certain degree. We are enjoyers. We are also in control. But the question is to which degree we are in control and for whom we are actually trying to maintain that control. So when you try to maintain control over your mind, over your senses, over your intelligence, we understand that that control ends up with offering that purity to the Lord, to Krishna. So that's why illicit sex and purity are very much connected, because of external and internal purity. And if you desire to associate with Krishna, that purity has to be maintained. So let your impetus to develop this internal external purity be based on your service. Right? Like, I knew that when I go on book distribution on Sankirtan, or you know, you do some service on the altar, you really, really have to push yourself. You have to push your sadhana just to control your mind, to control your senses. And the reason is because if you don't control it at that point, that anartha may pop in an incorrect time. And then you may feel like, oh my goodness, you know, I'm performing such a service, but look at my state of consciousness, look at my state of mind. And even seemingly the greatest service may become the greatest obstacle, and you may become mental about it. Therefore, the correct way to protect yourself is constantly being aware that the services which I perform, they require a certain level of purity. Okay, so which one is the another one? Gambling, right? Truthfulness. Because when you perform gambling activities, you actually want to overstep your allocated quota, right? In Ishopanishad, it's mentioned that everything belongs to the Supreme Lord. Ishavasam idam sarvam. And ultimately, if you, by certain illicit, certain activities, you try to invoke that Lakshmi within your life, those blessings within your life, and you indicating that I want more than I'm allocated, I desire more. So this hankering is actually the problem within our life. That's why gambling is prohibited. And I don't know if, I think Taruna mentioned it, Prabhu, a few days ago, that regarding the gold. Actually, it's interesting because Prabhupada speaks very much about in certain economical and financial words he's using just to share with us the importance of utilizing gold as such. So in the ancient times when the yajnas have been performed, gold and gold utensils or gold paraphernalia have been in a very great importance for performing yajnic sacrifices. So you've been offering different paraphernalia, starting with fruits, with anna, what do you call anna? Grains. You offer ghee, and you also offer different paraphernalia, including gold. So there is certain value within gold because it's the purest of the metal. And if you look even on Vishnu, the way he's got, you know, ornaments around him, he's decorated with jewelry, right? He's decorated with golden ornaments. What's the name of the gem that Vishnu always has on his chest? Kastuba gem. So all these paraphernalias which are on the body of the Lord are personalities. And we should also understand that gold as such is not a bad thing, only if you utilize it correctly. There's a pastime where Prabhupada said that Prabhupada received $1 million donation in the morning. And then he said, in the evening, I'm beggar again. What does this mean? That Lakshmi is, how do you say, chanchala, which means flickery. It in one point, it's with you, and the next point, it's not with you. So then, when you utilize gold, when you utilize money in the right way, you don't develop greed within you. So I mentioned this past time, I think I mentioned it with the sabbatical boys, that once Taruna Prabhu, we've been in the kitchen, And there was a gentleman or someone who left a suit, a fresh new suit. And we look, it was, there was a brand there, and there was a shirt, there was a tie, there were shoes, there were socks, everything was there. It was brand new. And it looked good, right? It looked good. But then Taruna Prabhu started showing it to David, then there was Daniel. And if he presented this new suit to the devotees, and they've been washing pots, right? So Taruna's like, look at this. And they just look at it, observe it, and said, okay, and continue doing their service, washing the pots. So one thing which I was really intrigued by this situation was that when you present something to devotees of seemingly of value, they reject it because they're washing pots for the Lord. And if you do it other way around with the karmis, right? Imagine you put karmi person, okay, you have to wash the pots. And then you come with a new, brand new suit in front of it. I guarantee he would just probably jump for it and just take it. Because it was offered like this, just for free. You know, just take it if you desire it. So I found it was so interesting that the true value for a Vaishnava, true value for a devotee, is not based on material possessions, rather an activity or a service he's actually doing. So when we say all glories to your service, there's certain value within it. All glories to the activity you perform for the Lord. All glories to what you do to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this in itself cannot be equal with any amount of money within the world, right? You know the pastime of, who was it, Sanatan Goswami and the touchstone. There was this personality who, I think by the benedictions of Shiva, he was performing lot of tapasya and austerities. And he requested Shiva, please give me greatest blessings you can give to someone. And what Shiva did, he blessed him with association of a pure devotee. He said, you go to that person. So he went to Sanatana Goswami and he saw the touchstone with the bin, within the garbage. And he asked Sanatana Goswami, like, oh my goodness, do you possess this touchstone which contains everything into gold? He said, yes, I do. So if you desire, take it, it's yours. But then the person has had some intelligence. He went away and then he kind of ticked. He was like, my goodness, if the touchstone was within the bin, that means that there is something of more value. So he went back to Sanatana Goswami and said, if you reject such a important possession, what is that what you have? And Sanatana Goswami replied, throw it away and I'll share it with you. And the value which has was the holy name, chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And by the way, the touchstone is still there somewhere in Vrindavan, as far as I know. Somewhere in the river Yamuna. So if anyone's hankering for that touchstone, you need to dive very deeply into Yamuna and find it somewhere, if you desire to be rich. But by the process of diving in Yamuna, I guarantee that something will change within you. So Prabhupada is saying in the purport, the saner section is eager to drive out corruption. So those people which have certain knowledge and certain understanding of Krishna consciousness, because they are not associating with the four prominent activities within the material world, they are eager to help others, right? And in this way, they're performing jiva doi. So many times, you know, in the news, or I'm from Slovakia, so there are always some kind of political disturbances there happening. But I think this country is not alone where political issues are always happening. And the reason is that people, they are just not educated. They don't understand the karma, and they don't understand the concept of guna. So if we want to get this corruption out of the way, it's so simple. Just become a worshipper of Krishna rather than being the worshipper of Kali. So we discussed this Panchasthanani, which are the five places of residence of Kali personified. There are four more verses. to kind of finish this chapter. And basically last 5-6 classes, devotees been going through the same thing, right? This is Kali, this is Parikshit Maharaj, this is the four places which are not conducive for spiritual advancement, plus this gold. But ultimately, there's one interesting verse which was shared with Taruna Prabhu. He shared this one with me. It's in Srimad Bhagavatam 6.3.21. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shri Shri Gornitai ki. And this brings us to the first point which we mentioned. If one doesn't follow the four recognized disciplic successions, his mantra or initiation is useless. So to get back to the point with the gold, how the money is useless without being properly covered. So even the mantra or even the seemingly devotional service that we perform is useless if it's not connected to the Guru Parampara and if it's not authorized. So recently I spoke with my spiritual master, His Holiness Kadamba Kanan Maharaj, and I was sharing with him that sometimes the service on the altar is very interesting and Krishna gives you reactions very quickly. And one point Maharaj mentioned to me is that that's normal, because you are very close to the source of all purity. But the answer was that, but you are sanctified. You are authorized to be there, in the sense that, because when you receive those Gayatri mantras, or when you receive the blessings of spiritual master and permission, that means you can do that. Of course, mind needs to be in the right place, activity needs to be in the right place. But you are authorized. So same thing with you chant Hare Krishna, because you receive it from the Guru Parampara. You are authorized. The value, the potency, the strength of the mantra is there. So the process of purification is also there, because it's authorized. Because it's not some whimsical activity, it's authorized. So we should understand that when we perform Bhakti Yoga, is authorized because of the Acharyas, because of Krishna, because of Bhagavad Gita, because of Shastra, because of it is authorized. So same thing with here. If the currency is covered by amount of gold, it has a value. So same thing if a devotee is connected with the Guru Parampara, there is value there. Otherwise it's just a speculation. That's why Srila Prabhupada put so much emphasis on studying the books, studying the scriptures. So just we know and discriminate what is authorized and what is not. Yeah, I spoke way too much on this small purport and small translation. So if there are any points, any questions from the devotees, we still have 10 minutes. So if they wish to share anything, please do so.
Okay, Gurgavindra Swami, it's very interesting. You know, he was, I think maybe Chaitanya Bhagavat, but he was speaking about how the deities themselves also, if the worship is not bona fide, in other words, they're not following regulative principles, the people themselves were offering, and it said that some brahmanas are not, you know, they may be eating fish even, and this sort of thing. And he says, what happens there? Or that in fact, that there's the occasion when the cook is so full of devotion, but the priest is not. How does it get accepted? And he gave an example where, it's in Chaitanya, I think Chaitanya Bhagavat, where even before it gets to the altar, this devotion that is within the kitchen, the altar's, it doesn't need even get to the altar. It's accepted while it's in the kitchen. Because that was one. And then the other one is that, for instance, you know, where some of these brahmanas, they may not be following regulative principles even, but the Lord, in his view, he says, or he's thinking, there are all these devotees, they're coming from my prasadam, thousands of them every day. I must accept it on their behalf. And that was a very nice other thing. So the Lord takes the initiative. He's seeing all these people wanting this Mahaprasadam, so he will accept it. So I thought these are very wonderful aspects to the unknown part of bhakti, that there's some things you can't see because that's within the Lord himself, and how he will accept even before it's got to the altar, or how he sees all the devotees coming, so he'll accept it on their behalf. So it was just there were nice points that Gaur Govinda Swami, and it was to do with Mahaprasadam and points made for Mahaprasadam. So I just share that.
That was a lovely point. Thank you, Prabhupada.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you for the class. My question is, if falsity, intoxication, lust, envy, and enmity already existed in places of gold, how did Kali actually influence?
Can you repeat that slightly louder, please?
Yeah. If falsity, intoxication, lust, envy, and enmity already existed in places of gold, I was wondering how Kali had more influence. How did he actually have an effect?
Places of God?
Gold?
Yeah. Gold.
Yeah.
Will anyone else would like to answer the question? Some senior Vaishnavas? Srinivas Prabhu? Purujan Prabhu? Turn it on.
So gold is the most pure of all opulences, and we did discuss yesterday how even certain temples in India, a few years back, they found they had a lot of gold, you know, for the Lord's service. So all opulences are meant to be used for Krishna's service. So anything for sense gratification will degrade us. Anything for Krishna's service will purify us. So, and like you quoted, we should see everything as for Lord's pleasure, not anything for ourselves. So, if we have that mindset, then anything in the material world will not disturb us if we're using it for Krishna's service. If we do it for ourselves, then we get contaminated. Hmm. That's the higher understanding.
Okay. Any other points or any other questions? Vaishnavis? No? Okay. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitagora Premanande, Haribol.